Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Kevin Sample.
Well, good morning. Welcome. Good to see all of you today here in the house of God. And it's an honor today to be able to bring today's message in our sermon series that we're in the midst of right now called The Extraordinary Life. How many of you would like a little extraordinary in your life? Come on, we are in the right place. And it's been a great series so far. Pastor Julie kicked us off 3 weeks ago, and then Pastor Mike these last couple of weeks talking about how we navigate offense, how we navigate unmet expectations, because those are the kinds of things that keep us living below extraordinary, right? When we are bound up, when we are just disillusioned with life, our vision and our sight tends to go down. But today, I'm going to continue this series and build on what they have been doing these last few weeks. And our topic for today is perspective. Perspective. And the title is The Life of Faith. Perspective, The Life of Faith. Now, when you think of that, when I think of the topic of perspective, and I wanted to also greet all of you who are joining us online today as well. Glad to have you with us. And when I think of the word perspective, a lot of times I think, you know what? You could go online and you could do a search on YouTube or someplace and you could pull up a lot of good motivational talks. You could pull up some TED Talks about improving your perspective and how that can help you in life and leadership and you know, give you some solid tips. And there's far better speakers than me. But we're not here today for a nice talk about perspective. I'm not here to give you a few tips to help you be a little bit better this week. We're in the house of God because this is where the Word of God is preached. That's what our pastors do each week, and today I've come with this book. If you want to learn about perspective, perspective comes from this book, the Word of God. And so if you have one, get it out and get ready. Get your device out if that's what you get on with the Word. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians today. But our perspective needs to be transformed by the Word of God, by the presence of God. Anybody need a little perspective adjustment? I need a transformation is what I need. And we need it today more than ever because the world is in chaos in a lot of ways. There's so much fear. There's so much anxiety. There's so much what's going to happen. How's this going to play out? And it's easy for our perspective to be all in the midst of all of that. But there's a different perspective in this book. And it starts in the keynote verse for today's message is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. It's one line, two phrases. Many of you probably haven't memorized. You've heard this many a time. For we live by faith, or in some translations, we walk by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. Father, I thank you for this time today in your word. I pray that these moments that we have for this message on perspective and the life of faith, Lord, I pray that your word would be front and center. I pray that what we hear and what we receive from is your word. I pray that our eyes and our ears and our hearts would be open today. Lord, that you would transform our perspective. Lord, that you would cause us by your spirit to live the extraordinary life and teach us what that means and change us forever, we pray. Help me in this message, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So it is 2 Corinthians that we're going to be in. We're actually in just a moment here. I'm not the second, but just a moment. We're going to be reading chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. But in one phrase, here's what the message is. The extraordinary life is a life of faith. The extraordinary life is a life of faith. There is no extraordinary without faith. And when you talk about faith and a life of faith, a big key aspect of what it means to live and walk by faith is having the right perspective. And what do I mean by perspective? Well, if you look it up, perspective by definition is a particular way of considering something or someone. Perspective is a particular way of considering someone or something. Perspective is like your attitude towards something or someone. Your perspective is your viewpoint, right? How you're looking at it. It's your frame of mind. It's your outlook. What's your perspective? In essence, perspective is what you see, and probably more important, how you see. Perspective is vision. Faith is about vision. It's what you see and how you see it. How many of you know that two people can look at the same piece of art or the same painting? They can be physically looking at the same sculpture or the same paint on a canvas, but how many of you know that two different people can see different things? It can have different meaning. It can speak to them in different ways. What is that? That is differing perspectives. Our perspectives are affected by what we bring to the situation, right? It's our state of mind. It's all of our life experiences have made a perspective for us. But we bring all of that to this. We bring all of our experiences, all of our ideas of life, all of our attitudes and outlooks and points of view. We bring it all to this book. And we say, Lord, give us your perspective. How should I see the situation? How should I view this particular circumstance? Or how should I view this relationship? That's perspective. And so I want us to look at chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, because if you've read the New Testament at all, much of it is written by the Apostle Paul. And let's just say that the Apostle Paul had a pretty significant transformation of his own perspective, if you know his story. Anybody understand about the story of the Apostle Paul? He had a perspective at one point that he was doing the will of God by tracking down Christians and persecuting them and dragging them off to prison. And then came Jesus. And then he had an encounter with the risen Savior. And something changed in that guy. And all of a sudden he became blind. But then those scales fell, and all of a sudden the Apostle Paul had a new perspective. He had a different outlook. He had a different vantage point. And all of a sudden, he became the great evangelist that wrote most of the New Testament after starting out with the perspective that Christianity was a plague. So let's learn from this guy. How about that? Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 4 and see what the Apostle Paul has to say. And I want you to get a view into the Apostle Paul's perspective, which I'm presenting to you as an example of what it means to walk by faith, to live by faith. Chapter 4, it starts off like this. Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry, We do not lose heart. I would encourage you to underline that phrase, we do not lose heart. It comes up later in the chapter. Verse 2, rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Verse 4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Was that you once? That's all of us until we come into relationship with Christ. Amen? The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. In essence, so that they don't have the perspective yet. Who is the image of God? Verse 5, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Verse 7, I would say verse 7 and 9, this is worth highlighting, marking, whatever you do in your Bible. But we have this treasure of the glory and the presence of Christ, in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. And here are the great final three verses that speak to us about the life of faith and perspective. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I would encourage you to take a little more time yourself later today, maybe this week, and just take a slower read of chapter 4 and what Paul was talking about. This will transform your perspective. You see, when we come into the awareness of whose life is living in us in Christ, when we come into the awareness of what is in store for us, what is planned for us in Christ, the eternal picture of what God has prepared for those who love him, it puts everything we're facing in this life into perspective. But if our perspective is simply what we see with our human eyes when we're living by sight, we're discouraged, we're distressed, we're perplexed. All those first, you know, the Apostle Paul was talking about things that happen. We're hard-pressed on every side. That's what we see with our physical eyes in the world today. We're hard-pressed on every side. When we feel crushed, We feel perplexed. We feel in despair at times when we think of what we see. We get struck down. We get struck down at times. Let's be honest. Life knocks us down. And if we have the perspective that we are living life based on what we can see and what we can understand, then we're in trouble. And we cannot live the extraordinary life. As long as we are focused on what we can see with our eyes and we can understand with our human brain, we will never live the extraordinary life, because this life will over and over find ways to strike us down, find ways to press us and to keep us feeling as though there's no hope or what's right around the corner. It may be good today, but what's coming next? But that's not where Paul was living. That's not what the Apostle Paul is saying. He said, yes, all these things are true. We are pressed down. We're perplexed. We are struck down at times. However, we're not crushed. We're not knocked out. Because there is something beyond the physical that he was focused on. It's the eternal. He was focused on the God of the universe who had transformed his life. Amen? A different perspective. The life of faith says, bring it. Because whatever you got, he's got more. He overcomes through me. Unfortunately, even as Christians, we can at times, we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, and then we go about living our life by sight. And so we find ourselves living in this cycle of just being in despair, being all of this stuff of this life, because we're trying to figure it out and handle it ourselves. That's not what God has called us. God has called us to live the life of faith. He's called us to a perspective that's different. How many of you know that if either you don't wear glasses or you do wear glasses and you go put on somebody else's glasses, it's disorienting? And even though, you know, it takes your eyes a bit to adjust to something different. Sometimes you never adjust, right? But the idea is, these things help me read, right? Even though the top part is pretty much nothing, so I can see you pretty good, but down at the bottom, it helps me to read. What this message is about is that when we come into Christ, Jesus wants to give us a new set of lenses to look at life through. And when we put them on, and this is new to us, we've lived our whole life just looking with the natural, and then we put on the supernatural lenses of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. At first, it's a little disorienting. We're not used to it. So it can take us a while. But what I'm here to say to us today from God's Word is, God has a perspective and a life of faith for all of us that will take us to an extraordinary life if we'll have the courage to surrender to Him and let Him do it. You see, the life of faith shines when the storms of life hit. Everybody can talk good life of faith. We can all talk a good life of faith when things are going well. But what happens when the storm hits? What happens when the unexpected happens? When you get the notice that you're being laid off of your job? What do you find out? You're going to be evicted from where you're living. Well, whatever it may be, you get that bad report from the doctor. When the storms of life hit, we find out what lenses we're really seeing through. And it's in those moments that the Spirit of God wants to rise up in us and lift us above it, to live not in denial of what the storms are, but in the midst of it, have a different perspective of it. I came across a quote that I cannot leave out of this message because it speaks to me very clearly about it. But believe it or not, former heavyweight boxer and champion Mike Tyson. No, he's not a theologian. However, he made a statement once that was, I think, is very true, and it speaks to this whole thing of perspective. I mean, for those of you who've never followed boxing or knew of Mike Tyson, he's probably one of the shortest heavyweight champions ever. He was always smaller than the guys he fought, but he was known for his powerful punch. And in one shot, he could drop a guy much bigger than him. And he once said in an interview, and I think it speaks to what we're talking about today, he said, "Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face." Everybody's got a plan until they're punched in the face. We can all look like we're in control. We can all have a strategy. We can all say, "I've got this life under control." But when the storms of life hit, that's when we find out where our perspective is. And we're called up to a new perspective. Amen? There's several illustrations of this that I want to bring attention to today in Scripture. Because the Word of God is what we get this from. This is what transforms us. Genesis chapter 15 is the account in the first few verses of when God first called Abraham. And he was telling Abraham that he was going to make him into a great nation, right? The father of Israel. And in fact, we are part in the Spirit. We are part of that today. As Christians, we are grafted in to the family of God that was founded back in Genesis with Abraham. And I want you to see this perspective thing. In the first six verses, this is going to be in the New Living Translation. It says, "Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great.' But Abram replied, 'O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eleazar of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir.' Then the Lord said to him, 'No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir.'" Verse 5, "Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, 'Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have.'" And I'll stop right there. God took Abraham outside and said, "Look up. What do you see? See if you can count all those stars, Abram." And Abram's looking up, and I'm sure, like us, it's overwhelming, all the stars, the expanse of the universe. But God said, "Hey, I want you to look up. I want you to see. That's how many descendants. Your descendants are going to be as numerous as those stars. Abram, I want you to see what I see. I don't just see stars. I see your children." And I want you to hear this today. When God was pointing Abram's attention up to those stars and saying, "That's your descendants," you and I were in that number. God was envisioning you as he was talking to Abram, because we are the descendants of Abram in Christ. Yes. We are part of that family. Yes. And the next verse is the key to it all. If verse 6 doesn't happen the way it reads, we're not here today. it's sort of anticlimactic in the way it's written. It's like, that's all the attention it gets. Verse 6, and Abram believed the Lord. No fireworks, no smoke machines. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Because of his faith. The life of the simplicity of saying, I don't see it, Lord, but I believe. Amen. If you say it, okay, I believe. That's the life of faith. And as you see Abram's life played out, you see the blessing in the hand of God on an act of simple belief and faith. That's all God's calling and asking you to do today. He's asking you to believe the unbelievable. Just believe and let him lead you. That is perspective. Lord, I don't see from your perspective, but Lord, help me, fill me, show me. Another example, 2 Kings chapter 6. The mighty prophet Elisha. He's a wanted man. There's an enemy king who is wanting to silence this voice of God. And so this king finds out where Elisha is at and sends a vast army to surround Elisha. Some of you are ahead of me and already understand where I'm going here in 2 Kings 6. Verse 15 says, when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? What will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. Don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Somehow I hear the voice of Pastor Mike in that. That's something that our pastor would say. Don't be afraid. There's more with us. Okay. All right. Then Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up. He saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. The armies of the living God, the supernatural, the perspective. That young man looked out and he just saw all the natural. He looked around and saw the problem. He saw the odds. Elisha said, what? Don't be afraid. There's way more with us than against us. It's because Elisha was seen through a different lens. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. How many of you will join me and say, I need God to open my eyes. I need to see more like he does. I need to see more like he does all the time. Makes me think of Jesus in John chapter 6. The story of the loaves and fishes and the feeding of the 5,000 plus, which is probably more like 20,000 with everybody counted. And what is perspective? No, what's interesting is when you look at this, it's not going to be on the screen, but I'm just going to highlight this real quick. John chapter 6 in this account, because Jesus is showing them his perspective versus theirs. John 6, verse 5 says, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, try to get into the scene. So Jesus sees all these people, and he sees Philip. Next, he says, Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Verse 6 says, he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. And then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will that go? Right? This is a classic example of seeing through the eyes of Jesus and seeing through our natural human eyes. You see, as we grow in our faith, we grow in our walk and maturity in Christ, this life of faith, it means that more and more, as we face things in life and we face challenges and decisions and things come at us that we didn't expect, that less and less are we just living out in what we see in our flesh. But after we have that initial reaction, because we all have the initial human reaction to everything in life, we always do, we're human. When life hits us, it staggers us. But the life of faith after that stagger is to say, Lord, what are you doing here, Lord? I don't see it. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see from your perspective. And then we allow him to lead us so that instead of living a life of reaction out of our human sight and emotion, we are submitting those things to him, letting him heal those things and saying, Lord, open my eyes. Give me your lenses to see the situation. Lord, what are you doing in this moment? How can I trust you more? Amen? Perspective. So I want to wrap up my message today by talking for a few minutes about some things that I've learned, that I've been learning recently about the extraordinary life. The extraordinary life is not the life that's problem-free. The extraordinary life is not some utopian sense that we're going to get to a place where there aren't any problems, there aren't any struggles or challenges. That's not the extraordinary life. The extraordinary life is the life of faith. It's the extraordinary life is the life that is overcoming, and in the midst of trial and trouble and circumstance, that we are seeing what he sees, that we are responding from a more godly perspective. And what I've been learning about this extraordinary life, I boil it down to two things. And I guess if you're looking for points, which usually I'm a pretty good preacher about having points, right? And I've got all this way without any points. Or maybe you thought I already gave points, and who knows? But if there were a couple of points for today, I guess it would all boil down to this, that what I'm learning about living a more extraordinary life, it's very complicated, so make sure you get out your notepad. It is a life surrendered to Jesus and a life anchored in his word. Period. Surrendered to Jesus, anchored in the word. Surrender reflects yielding. And here is one of the biggest obstacles to seeing from God's perspective. It is demanding understanding. When we're hit in the face by life, I'm learning that we surrender. That means we say, Lord, I seek wisdom. I do desire understanding, but I let go of the demand. And sometimes the biggest obstacle for us in life, what happens? Our faith is shaken when we don't understand things that happen. It doesn't make sense to me. And so, God, you need to make this understandable to me. Otherwise, I am sort of taking a step back. I'm not sure if I'm really in this anymore because this doesn't make sense to me. And I've lived long enough now to realize that there's a lot more that I don't understand than I used to think. For those of you who are much younger, I know you've got life all figured out. But as you get older, yes, there's wisdom from experience, but that experience also teaches us that we know a lot less than we used to. And we learn to trust Him more and more. That's surrender to Jesus. And then there's anchored in His Word. Anchored in His Word. You know, we look back now, maybe you do, and you say, you know, in 2020, we said as a church, it's a year of greater. And then, how'd that work out? In the natural, it looked like the worst year we've probably ever had for many. Well, we're going to have greater breakthrough in 2021. We're walking by faith, right? In January, I prayed that my mom would get healed. And she died on January 13th. In February, we prayed over and over. Said, God, heal Brad Clark. Raise him up out of that bed. Jesus took him home in February. Just this last week, first week of March, probably the closest cousin I have in my life, her husband of 62 years old, passed away this week. After I stood here and prayed in faith, Lord, raise him up. Greater breakthrough. These are the kinds of things when we are believing and praying a certain way. And I know that many of you have your own circumstances that have the similar impact. You've been believing God for something. You've been praying. You are facing it. And it's not happening the way that you're praying and the way it seems like it would be really great if it worked out this way, Lord. And it's not happening. I can tell you that this book is what's anchoring me right now. That getting in this book and reading the Psalms, reading those Psalms that just speak about trusting in the Lord, and He's a good, good Father. He is faithful. He is loving. He can be trusted. This book is not a book of fairy tales with people who always have happy endings. There are a lot of people who put their trust in Jesus that didn't have a happy ending. But guess what? If you read the back of the book, we all have a happy ending together. But I'm wrapping this message up by saying that, bottom line, the extraordinary life is exactly what God has for each one of us. If we will surrender to Jesus, if we will anchor ourselves in this book. So your ability and my ability to put on the perspective that God wants us to have is directly related to how much time we read this book. If you are watching news and social media and everything else, even other books that are good, if that gets more of your attention than this book does, then you cannot have the perspective that God has for you. This book is the source. It is supernatural. And not every chapter and verse makes sense to me. But I read it and I say, Lord, Open my eyes to see what you want me to see. And I thank you, Lord, that you are revealed in this book. And just like you anchored the men and women of old, you're going to anchor me. And so today, I am encouraged. And I'm not just doing the pastor thing on Sunday morning here. I'm serious. In the midst of all that's happening, I have hope because I know where my hope is founded. Amen? We are not those who shrink back. The Apostle Paul wrote it right there in 2 Corinthians 4. We do not lose heart. The Apostle Paul, he was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. He was put in prison. And yet he was saying, we do not lose heart. So what's our problem? And has God changed? No. He's the faithful rock. And he will take us to the extraordinary life if we will get in his word, if we will surrender to Jesus, and we let him give us his perspective. His perspective. I want you to bow your heads, please. Let's take a moment here. We don't have to rush. As you're sitting there with your eyes closed, I just want you to listen for a moment to a few verses that I'm going to read to you out of the book of Ephesians. We've been talking about this Apostle Paul who was transformed and had his perspective just completely changed. I want you to hear what this transformed apostle had to say to believers in Ephesus. I'm going to read to you from Ephesians 1. And I want you to imagine that the Apostle Paul is talking to you. The Apostle Paul is talking to believers at Bethel Chandler. And this is what he says, actually starting in verse 15. Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I pray that you would have a new perspective and walk and live by faith. With your eyes still closed, I'm wondering if you realize today that you've not been living surrendered to Jesus. You know, it's called being born again. It's called becoming a Christian. You can, a lot of things, but the bottom line is it's saying, I surrender my life to Jesus. I need a Savior. If that's you today and you know you need to surrender him, you know you need to repent and turn to him and give your life to him, not just acknowledge him, but actually surrender your life to Jesus, I want to pray for you in this closing prayer. Is that you? Anybody, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. We all at some point need to surrender to Jesus. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Amen. How many of you who would say, I'm surrendered to Jesus, but I realize I've not been living anchored in the Word? I realize I need more of the perspective. Is that you? Then we're going to pray. We're going to pray together. Amen. I'd like you to repeat this prayer. Let's pray this prayer together. Everybody pray it. Lord Jesus, thank you for laying down your life for me. And now I in turn surrender my life to you. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my King. I need your perspective. Open the eyes of my heart. Help me to see your perspective. Give me courage to simply believe. I surrender my understanding. I trust you. I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. Thank you. I love you. I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.